It's Beauty Inside Out on RadioMD.com. Here are David Pollack along with Lisa Davis.
You know, so many of us spend a lot of money on our beauty products, and we want to make sure that we're using them correctly, that we know what we're doing, and that we want to look and see, are those, you know, ingredients in there really doing what they need to do? So, David, give us a skinny on all this information, because I want to know that what I'm buying is actually doing the best it can do for me.
You know, my first thought as a chemist is go straight to some of the anti-aging skincare, but I'm going to surprise you and start with some other items first. And one is the lipsticks. If you use a high gloss sheer lipstick, do you know in the summer can actually attract UV rays?
Ooh, that makes sense to me, though.
Because it's a high sheer, you're attracting it, just like when you go snowing, in the winter, or seeing in the snow in the winter, it reflects the light. Well, same thing. This high gloss sheer lipstick is going to do the same to your lips. So what I would suggest, if you want a nice high gloss, is first use an opaque lipstick, and then over it, put a high gloss on. And that's going to give you the high gloss look you're looking for, but put a layer underneath to help protect the lips. The other is always follow with a lip balm with an SPF 30. What you want to do is not have it attract the rays and not damage the lips.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I love lip gloss, so I definitely have to watch for that.
The other is, I will tell you, some people use, you know, different, you have your favorite shade of nail polish, but a lot of people have, like, as one of the guests earlier were mentioning, is they wear a lot of dark clothes up in New York and black a lot, so they would obviously probably wear a dark nail polish, but the dark nail polishes have more pigment and over time can stain the fingernails. So while slowly your nails may grow out, but they're discolored for a period of time. So what you want to do is now and then, go ahead and use a dark nail polish, but my suggestion is put a base coat on underneath to help protect the nails, and also from time to time, use a different color. Just don't stay with some of the dark colors.
All right. That's good to know. Now, I mentioned on other shows, I don't usually do nail polish, though I'd love to do a clear nail polish, because I'm looking at my nails now, and let's just say they need a little help.
Well, okay, let's jump to the next one, is a lot of people so often ask me, do I really need to remove my makeup at night? And I'm going to tell you, one, from a healthy skin point of view, definitely remove your makeup overnight, because all it's going to do is clog pores, irritate the skin. But I'm going to tell you more importantly, eye makeup, especially like mascara, can actually dry out overnight and flake up and actually get into your eyes. And a lot of people don't realize that. So what you want to do is make sure you remove all your makeup, especially the mascara. And actually, you'll laugh, a mascara wand is one of the most common injuries when using beauty products, because people accidentally stick themselves with it. And you've got this waterproof makeup that's often hard to remove. So you want to be extra careful when putting on your mascara. Don't do it in a rush, but also make sure to remove it at night.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I cuddle with my daughter every night. We're big cuddlers, and I sing to her, and I was looking at her pillowcase the other day, and I was thinking, I've got to wash the sheets. And there was little flecks of mascara all over the pillowcase.
Okay, now, in all kidding aside, not to scare you, but that could get into her eyes, if you haven't thought about
it. That's a good point.
But what about you? And so if you do not remove your makeup, you not only are harming your skin, which we talk anti-aging all the time, but your eyeballs. And so, you know, these are things you need to do every night. The other thing is, I'm often asked, do I need a toner? When I talk about healthy skin after I wash my face, should I follow with a toner? And I always laugh. Years ago, toners were very, very popular. To me, they're a waste of money and a waste of time. A lot of people argue with me and say, geez, I used it on my cotton ball. Look at all the dirt that comes off on the cotton ball. Reality is, if the product is formulated correctly, your skin's pH is acidic, and the product should match your skin's pH and optimize it. If it disrupts it, you should change cleansers. Using a toner, if it's removing stuff, it just means that your cleanser didn't do its job. So you want to use a product that's a cleanser that's naturally formulated for your skin and optimizes the pH, and there's no need to follow with a toner, so that'll save you time and money. Another one is, most moisturizers actually dry out the skin by the end of the day. So you'd be better off using nothing if you're going to use one that is not formulated properly.
That's a surprise, isn't it? Well, how do you know whether it's So yeah, that is a surprise. So how do we know whether it's formulated properly? Yes. Unless we get your Pure Attitude moisturizer, of course.
Well, mine is formulated, and I'm not just talking about mine. Is we are changing how the industry thinks about it. The industry creates these heavy creams using oil and water to come together. We use a binding agent or emulsifier. Bottom line, you look on the back label. If you see the word emulsifying wax, polysorbate, PEG, different ingredients like that, they're soap-based emulsifiers. They sit on the skin. They eat away at the lipid barrier. They dry out the skin, disrupt the pH. Long and short of it is, you're buying expensive creams and you're minimizing the benefits of them. So again, look at the ingredient statement. I put it on my website. You can download the pamphlets and booklets for free and learn what to look for. Just please read the ingredient statements and spend the money on products that are going to actually work. Use ones that do not use soap-based emulsifiers. Use ones that will optimize the skin pH. My favorite, look for ones that don't start with the word water, because all you're doing is diluting down the product. It's why spend expensive money? It's the most expensive water you'll ever pay for. So look for things that start off with pure ingredients. The other is, some people ask, if it's a product's hypoallergenic, does that mean I won't have any problem at all? And there, I'm going to tell you, the word hypoallergenic means somebody has tested it and there's minimal reaction, if any. But that doesn't mean you won't have any. It means you're probably safer than one that doesn't make that claim. But my suggestion is do a patch test with your makeup or skincare. Put it on a small area of your skin, let it sit for a little bit, and see if you have a inflammation or some sort of breakout or flare-up. If you do, there's something in it that's going to irritate your skin, discontinue use. If you're buying several new products when you go to the store, there's some great sales people at the counter. And when they get you to buy several, go home but start with one at a time. Use it for a few days and slowly implement or integrate everything into your routine one at a time. Don't instantly try everything, because if one item causes the problem, you want to know what it is and isolate it. You don't want to throw away everything you just bought, because if you bought several, it may only be one causing that problem.
That was interesting about the hypoallergenic. I didn't realize that. And I bet that's, you know, surprising to a lot of people. That's like a hypoallergenic dog, you know, like you'll hear about people who have dog allergies and they'll get a hypoallergenic dog. That's kind of interesting. I don't know. Anyhow, it's a total other subject. He's looking at me like I'm cuckoo, but somehow it just made me think of that because I'm such a dog person. So,
okay, let's jump to some other things. We talked about hypoallergenic, but let's go to makeup and some of the other irritations that can happen. If you share your makeup, this sounds crazy, but maybe it's even some of the younger audience listening. If you share your makeup, you're having a problem. I'm going to continue, though. Let me tell you a couple other things, then I'll explain. If you expose it to heat, meaning you leave it in your car, you leave it in your purse, and you're outdoors at the beach or whatever. If you use product when you have an eye infection, these are all times that you're injecting bacteria into your makeup. And so over time, this bacteria can build up and cause other problems. So what you want to do, first, never share makeup. Number two, keep your makeup in a dry, cool place, at least temperature controlled the best you can. If you ever have an eye infection you discover, throw away that item. Go back and get it, get something new. And the other is replace your mascara every 3 months, because that's being used around the eyes and that's the most sensitive area. So every 3 months, throw away your mascara, get a new tube. The other is, I do the same with most of my makeup every 3 to 6 months, because again, you're constantly injecting different things into it, the different brushes you've used, the different pads. So clean the brushes often, but you want to prevent the buildup of bacteria.
You know, my dad's an ophthalmologist, so I learned when I first started using mascara, probably around 12 or 13, he said, don't use your friend's makeup, don't let them use your eye makeup, and you got to be so careful. And that's why, you know, I remember going to, you know, stores and they had all the testers, and I always wonder, I'd see people just picking up an eyeliner and putting them on, and I was like, what is going on? And even if I get a makeover, I'm sure they think I'm kind of a pain in the rump, but I asked the makeup artist, you know, did you sharpen that first? Or, you know, I mean, I know they know, but you can never be too careful.
You've got to be an educated consumer. And I'm going to tell you one last one real quick. A lot of products can contain toxic, even known carcinogens. And a lot of people think, how could that be? Because doesn't the FDA inspect every cosmetic product? And the answer is no. In the cosmetic industry, we have to meet requirements, but we don't have to have FDA approval to launch a cosmetic. So we just follow certain guidelines. So that does not mean your product is necessarily safe. It doesn't mean it doesn't contain harmful ingredients. So learn to read the ingredient statement, be safe, and follow some of the tips we've just explained. This is your personal beauty expert, David Pollack, and my co-host, Lisa Davis. You're listening to Beauty Inside Out on Radio MD. Thank you for joining us, and stay beautiful and stay healthy.